Good evening and welcome to BBS Radio's presentation of the show, The Higher Dimensions. This is Phyllis Price, your hostess. And tonight we have a lovely guest, a shaman, Manin, Reverend Mignon Manin Esran Stanford. She is originally from Panama. She is a shaman, as I said, vibrational spiritual healer, and an ordained minister in the state of Virginia. She works with crystal therapies, reincarnation, regression. She releases karmic issues and deconditioning traumas. She also has facilitated evening drumming circles for 5 years and has served as an occasional guest teacher with the Body, Mind, and Spirit Church of Fredericksburg. She's also given energy workshops at Abrams Creek Lady of America Health and Fitness Center in Rockville, Maryland. She uses Reiki, and I can't pronounce some of these others, Telios Technique, Quantum Touch, and is a medical intuitive level 3. And she's a channeler, channeling Palladian, Syria Draco, and other planetary energies. Reverend Stanford also has written 2 books, Quantum Vibrational Healing, regarding intergalactic shaman journeying and wire-wrapping stones. And she works with indigo kids and folks who have attention deficit disorder and balancing their energy movements in the body so they're able to focus for longer periods of time. She has a very, very vivid background, and I understand after talking with her that she comes honestly through hereditary almost, her shamanic gifts and her, work. And I can let her talk to you about the other things that she does. So welcome to our show. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, we got talking because a dear friend of mine met you at a fair, and she said you were a fascinating person to talk to. And I have not had a shaman on the show before. As I mentioned to you, I do not know much at all about shamanism, so I would like you just basically to explain what it is and what it does and how it works in today's world, how you train for it, and how you got into the fields you did, besides, you know, family orientation type things. Please, go ahead.
Okay, well, I work with shamanic healing, and basically I help people learn how to heal themselves by balancing the mind, body, and the spirit. When we are balanced as individuals, positive opportunities present themselves. And I use a number of different tools, vibrational energies, meditations, and I show people how to change their mindset so that they can get rid of all the stress from the frantic pace of life that we live, we set for ourselves in this century. And I teach people how to work with energies from other living beings, such as plants, animals.
Give us an example of that. How does that work?
Well, when we access the medicine of a particular animal.
Right.
Or a particular plant.
Right.
It helps us to understand life from the perspective of another being, another living being.
Okay.
The owl teaches us, for example, how to look deeply into situations.
Okay.
How to look at our options and judge which option would be best for us.
And every
animal has different medicines that it offers us.
Uh-huh.
And animals have been used through throughout centuries by shamans to look into and sort of discover the reasons for things like illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if you look at the medical caduceus, you'll see two snakes.
Uh-huh.
So people have been using and tapping into the energies of animals for many centuries.
Uh-huh. Okay, and is this done through meditation, through a form of...
through meditation and through shamanic journeying as well.
Okay. And what is shamanic journeying? I'm not familiar with that technique.
Well, we can go beyond the physical stuff that we can touch here.
Right.
We can move and access other planes of reality, other levels of reality.
Yes, I agree.
And so shamanic journeying is as the facilitator of the journey, I take people to different places, whether it's to another galaxy, whether it is to the underworld, whether it is wherever.
Right. Okay. And is this a form of hypnosis, or how does this happen?
No, it's through meditation.
Through meditation? Oh, okay. Is it guided meditation?
Yeah, guided meditation.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. Okay. How did you get involved in this kind of work?
Oh, well...
Way back when. I know you were telling me about it being a family type of... sort of were guided into it through your family?
Partially. I've always been a little different when I was growing up. And for, you know, a long time, people were not comfortable with that aspect.
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of it was, don't say those things. You know, people are going to think you're weird.
Oh, yeah, I got that, too. I understand.
So I sort of kept things under my hat for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And I've been studying different energies, vibrational energies and such. And so finally about, 6 years ago, I started letting people know that I was able to do these things. And I was very pleasantly surprised that people were so receptive, and it was wonderful to be supported.
More so than when you had been younger, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, when I was a kid, you know, it was like, shh.
Oh, yeah.
Don't say those things because people will weird out.
Well, not only that, I don't know, perhaps in your field, but, you know, or it was evil. How do you know it's not of the devil? And all that kind of stuff used to come up.
Yeah,
scary. So you have decided to study more on your own, as I see from your resume, and...
I also have been studying with some other shamans and friends in Central and South America.
I think that's wonderful. And can you explain to our audience what drew you to the South American?
Well, actually, I'm originally from the Republic of Panama.
Right. Okay.
One of my cousins is also a shaman.
Uh-huh.
So he and I have collaborated, and he's taught me much of what he knows.
Mm-hmm. And where did he learn his? Was that handed down through the family?
Part of it was, but, you know, he's also studied on his own as well.
Mm-hmm. How do you know that you want to become a shaman as opposed to doing other things, other forms of healing?
I don't know, strikes you on the head in the middle of the night.
That works. I've had a 2x4 liberally applied it once or twice. you are in the Washington metropolitan area, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
I travel between, you know, Maryland and Virginia and West Virginia.
Okay. That's fabulous. Do you find that this gift of shamanism, doesn't it help you? At least I have found with others that having these gifts helps you in many ways in your personal life and in your family life.
Yes, I think so. It has certainly afforded me, I try to practice all that I apply the knowledge.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times, merely taking a deep breath and thinking about what you're going to say before you open your mouth.
Right. That's always a good
helps
thing.
Helps to avoid a sticky situation.
Absolutely. Well, that's also a very good common sense thing to do. But
There's a lot of common sense involved with the work.
You know, I have found that true in the psychic world too, and in almost anything dealing with it. A lot of it people tend to forget. I think it's just the development of our own wonderfully formed senses and our natural gifts. As I said, I find it absolutely fascinating talking to someone who's done the shaman work because it's so sort of outside of how I was raised. You also do Reiki work as well, as I see. And,
yes.
And you said Drasani?
Drasana. Drasana is a Tibetan spiritual energy, as well as Nireya.
Uh-huh.
Which is a Tibetan spiritual energy.
Okay. And what is Nireya?
Nireya. Which is a Tibetan spiritual energy.
Oh, really? Oh,
mm-hmm.
And how did you come across that?
The Sun Network, the Spiritual Unfolding Network. It's
uh-huh.
out of California.
Okay. And also you do Teleios?
Teleios means
Teleios.
Whole.
What means what?
Whole. Teleios means to be whole.
To be whole.
Complete.
And what is that different from the other levels? I mean, how do these techniques different, and what do you use them for?
Well, they're different vibrational energies. Some are more physical. Some are work better in the mental and emotional planes, and some work better in the spiritual.
Uh-huh.
And so depending upon what the person needs, we will talk, and usually someone will call me up and say, I've got this problem.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk, and I look for, and I apply different energies depending upon whether it's more of a physical problem, whether it's more of an emotional slash
mm-hmm.
mental problem, event that they're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
Or whether it's a spiritual issue that they're dealing with.
Okay, because there doesn't seem to be one set method for everything, is there?
No, there certainly isn't. I don't know of one screw that will fit all nuts.
Yeah, I agree. I have to say, I admit that one shoe doesn't fit everybody. But, you know, sometimes people wonder, I guess in the Western medicine, what we find is that we all try to get everybody to be healed with the same pill, right? Same dosage, but it doesn't work that way. And so you just had an awakening one day, is that right? And that you came gradually to this work?
Well, I guess it sort of came gradually, and then one day I just kind of sat up and said to my late husband, I've decided that I'm going to become a shaman. And he looked at me and he said, that's wonderful, darling.
He said, what? How did your children take it?
They have always thought that their mom was very interesting. And all of their friends think that their mom is very interesting. So they've been very supportive.
I think that's fabulous. You know, kids can be such such a hoot sometimes when they face.
Well, they warn their friends, when you come meet my mom, she's just a little bit on the unusual side. So don't be surprised.
A little forewarning goes a long way, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And so you, let's see, I also noticed that you have a Veins of Silver, a rock and gem show in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Yeah, it's not a full shop, per se. Actually, it's my barn that has tons of rocks in it.
Uh-huh.
And I have not yet organized it. At some point, I'd like to put it on eBay.
Uh-huh.
I have tons of rocks, and I just sort of need to organize them and actually get them on eBay. What I do with the stones is I use them as layouts on the chakras.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
To help people get their chakras balanced.
Okay.
I also have a healing room. Actually, my whole house is filled with crystals, I must admit. And I use different combinations of stones.
Right.
And my guidance just makes these suggestions, and I put them together, and then, you know, we move forward.
Mm-hmm.
There are different stones, for example, that work magnificently well together.
Uh-huh.
My son had cut his finger pretty deeply.
Uh-huh.
At one point, and he came home and he said, "Oh, Mom, my finger is just killing me." So I gave him a hematite, and I also gave him a red calcite. And I said, "Hold on to these while I go get Mercurochrome and Band-Aids and et cetera, et cetera."
Right.
No sooner had I walked a couple of feet away, he said, "Mom, Mom, quick, come back, look." And he was actually, we actually were watching the skin regrow.
Wow.
And, yeah, and within 3 days, his skin was just fine.
Huh. Well, you saw a healing just literally happen before your eyes. By
right,
using...
and he said, "Boy, this stuff works. I'm sold, Mom."
Don't we wish all could be that easy, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that I was just going to say, that's a wonderful confirmation of it. And you said for a cut you used hematite and what?
Red calcite.
Red calcite, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
the calcites are a wonderful family.
Mm-hmm.
The green calcite is very good for skin conditions.
Okay.
As is the red calcite.
Uh-huh. We would say like acne or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Or a rash? What about hives?
You can certainly use them on, you know, apply it and just rub it where the hives are.
Okay.
And it helps the skin regenerate.
Well, wonderful. It helps the skin to regenerate. Oh, that sounds fabulous.
Yeah. One thing that when people have, you know, some problems with skin and that sort of thing, I just tell them to tuck the rock in their pocket and carry it with them all day long.
Uh-huh.
And the energies from the stones will just sort of be infused into their system. And they will not only feel better, but they will, just, you know, their skin will also repair. Repair itself.
Well, I know I have often carried rocks or stones or gemstones in my purse. People pick it up and say, "Would you carry rocks in here?" And I say, "Yes." And they kind of look at me funny. You know, and I don't believe you. So I open my purse and haul out, and they just stare at me. "Well, aren't you afraid somebody's going to steal them?" I said, "Who would believe some crazy lady would carry rocks in her purse, you know?" And besides which, if somebody tries to rob me, all I have to do is give it a good hard swing. We'll take everybody out. It's a good defense as well as healing measure. What can I tell you?
Yes,
so. So you do practice. You practice just part-time at this point because you do have, as we say, a day job. And I won't go into that because, you know, unless you want to. But the thing is, what I wanted to people to understand too is that alternative healers that work with these and within these arenas are normal everyday people. You know, they aren't strange people who happen to just appear out of nowhere and, you know, in the dark or, you know, something of that nature, or Mademoiselle the the Madame Zelda of the Seven Veils, as I call it.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who are intelligent, educated, who have been led by spirit, I guess, and through their own soul's journey to enter into a new phase of their life. And I find that very often it's when people have gone through, I guess, the first portion of their life, which is like karmic.
Mm-hmm.
They need to take care of the living and deal with the lessons that they have to learn, grow up, so to speak, gain experience and wisdom. And then it's as though you're led, if I'm not mistaken, into a whole new arena, a whole new world. And I think that's...
Yes.
Yes,
to a certain extent, that's true. Some people are know from the time they're little
yeah.
kids.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that you're going to find a lot of children, the crystal children and the indigo children, are following their intuition, and they're, I guess, much farther ahead, and they're very knowledgeable.
Uh-huh. How old are the indigo children now? You're talking about the indigo kids. What is the age group now for these children?
You know, it ranges. I guess I'm on the tail end, 1957. So that's sort of the tail end of the indigos. And then the crystal children, I guess, were born in, like, the 80s and 90s.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. I thought the crystal kids came in 2000. Shows you how much I know about the subject. I have to tell you...
I can't say absolutely for certain, but
okay.
There are some kids that I've worked with, teenagers, who are just very, very facile with the crystals, and, you know, they're teenagers. So...
Mm-hmm.
I think that the crystal children have been around a little bit longer than we perhaps realize.
Yeah, because as I said, because I was under the impression that the crystal kids were the brand newbies. If that would be the case, what did you notice about the crystal kids that's different from, say, the indigo? What is that difference?
Well, the crystal kids gravitate and just seem to intuitively know the energies of different stones.
Hmm.
For example, if they have an ache in their heart, they're missing daddy or mommy, they'll
uh-huh.
intuitively go to a stone that's either pink or green.
Huh. Okay.
They also seem to know easily what the healing properties are of different stones.
Uh-huh. Are they more intuitive? I'm sorry?
And how to use them.
Okay, I was going to say, are they more intuitive as a group?
I don't think it's fair to say that any one group is more intuitive than another. They're
mm-hmm.
all very intuitive. It's just a matter of how much we allow ourselves to develop that intuitiveness.
Uh-huh.
Everyone is intuitive.
Well, I agree, but I was under the impression somehow that these kids came knowing that they were more highly intuitive than their forebearers and their parents, that this knowledge somehow is more on the surface rather than...
Well, perhaps. I also have kind of noted that the crystal children are, let's see how to put this, more easy. They're not quite as intense. They're, I guess, more laid back.
Okay. Laid back.
In their energies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Would that be translated by some people to ambitious or not ambitious? Or I'm just trying to get information. you know, because I don't read much about it because I've just decided I have to come to a point where I can't be an expert about everything, and I don't want to be anymore.
I'm not sure that ambition really would apply in this case.
Okay.
I think that it's just the mannerisms that they exhibit.
Okay.
They're more contemplative.
They're more what?
Contemplative.
Okay. They're quiet. They turn more within.
They're more quiet in their minds, I guess.
Okay, they turn within.
Because it seems like they already know what their job is, what their mission is, what their purpose is.
Uh-huh.
And they're okay with it. They're easy with it. A lot of the Indigo kids are still searching.
Really? That surprises me.
Part of it, I think, has to do with our society and the fast pace and being bombarded from so many sides with different energies. I mean, when you think about the energies that we are bombarded with every day.
Absolutely.
As you get into your car and the radio's going and you're driving down the road and there's all these, you know, people, some happy, some sad, some driving like crazy down the road. So there's all these energies that we are
putting out, and absorbing.
Absorbing, mm-hmm. or that are around us.
Right.
So
exactly.
one of the things that I like to teach people is to show them how to create a little energy field around themselves so they don't feel quite so bombarded. And
that's
I think that
thing.
Many of the crystal children already are familiar with creating this energy field around themselves.
Huh.
Whereas a lot of the indigo kids that I've worked with are not totally tuned into that. They haven't quite learned to set the boundaries so that they're not bombarded. And I think many of the indigo children feel overwhelmed because there's so much stuff coming at them.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that's one of the things that they're finding with autistic children is that they are really extremely sensitive, and the bombardment of everything hitting these kids drives them.
It's overwhelming, yeah.
Yeah, and I can understand that. I mean, I can understand that. But I was just wondering, you know, if there were, because there's so much said about them, and I do know that there was a distinct difference. I have three children. My son is 41 now. My oldest daughter is going to be 39 this year in December, and the youngest is 24. I can tell you that the difference in raising the first two as compared to the third child was like night and day. The third child seemed to be so much smarter. and I don't mean that to be in a derogatory way, but she knew so much at a much younger age than her siblings did. And yet, you know, I did control TV to a certain extent. You can't do it all the time. God, they have a life to live, and you can't watch them all the time. But I found that she was just knew more at a younger age. And I found that very challenging because it was more difficult for me to keep up with her, and keep her interested and on target than it was with the other two. And yet they seemed to learn things more easily than she did. For example, book learning came harder to her.
Well, you know, there's different modes
that
people use for learning. Some people are audio learners.
Well, yeah, I know that, too.
Some people are visual learners.
Oh, I'm aware of that.
Some people are tactile learners.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the, we tend in this society to label children.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I'm dyslexic, and both my boys are dyslexic.
I'm slightly dyslexic also, okay?
And,
and
in
of course
schools, mm-hmm. in the schools, they labeled it as LD, learning disability. And I said, you know, I kind of have a problem with that word.
Certainly.
And I said, why don't we just call it learning differently?
Right. Well,
and
which
so
is what
that's
it is.
That's what I told my kids. You just learn a little bit differently from everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the schools are geared to the visual learners quite often.
Oh, yeah. That's why I developed a teaching teaching modality that hits the five senses and teaches kids using the five senses.
And
I've done
wonderful.
A couple of pilot projects on kids, the ones who are quote-unquote from the most disadvantaged, you know,
mm-hmm.
the poor, and they just lap it up. I've tried it in both public schools and in after-school programs, and the kids just suddenly start learning very, very quickly, and they have a lot of fun with it.
Oh, fabulous. Sounds like I need to take a class from you.
Hey, it works with adults, too, by the way.
I'm sure it does.
Anybody can learn from it. It's fabulous. Anyway, other than that, we just, you know, I just kind of wanted to focus on you and what you do because I find it so fascinating. Now, the other thing that you do that I find wonderful is that you channel. Do you go
yes.
into, how do you channel? I mean, I know there are different ways of channeling, but do you go into a trance or are you a voice medium? How do you do this?
Well, what I do is I drink a lot of coffee, and any of my friends who are listening will all get a big chuckle because I drink pots of coffee
every day. Okay.
And so what I do is I pour myself a cup of coffee, and I go and I sit in my big comfy chair in my healing room. And, of course, you know, I've got all these great big huge crystals around my chair, and I put my feet up, and I take my journal. And I drink my coffee, and I just relax. I meditate. I go into a deep meditative state.
Right.
And I carry on a conversation with my council, the ancients, elders.
With
masters,
who?
Ascended masters.
Okay.
And
you can write while you're in a trance state?
Yes.
Really?
I must admit, I probably look quite funny because one eye is open and the other eye is closed.
That's cute. That's cute. I like that. My mom used to catch me doing things by that.
My kids know by the expression on my face when I'm channeling. So
okay.
If I walk into the healing room, they'll take one look at me and they'll go, okay, and they'll just close the door and leave me alone for a while.
Hey, I couldn't get them to do that when I was in the bathroom. That's you got some kind of workforce. You got some kind of magic over your kids.
They're very respectful. Very respectful.
Anyway, this is fascinating. So who do you channel? You actually write it down. They don't speak through you, so you're not a direct voice medium.
No, I hear it and I know it.
Okay.
I also get colors.
Okay.
So it just depends on what we're working. And sometimes I will ask for some advice and guidance on how best to help a particular friend or client. Or other times I will, since I work with energy, I will ask very specific questions, you know, how does this work?
Okay.
And I will get an explanation. And actually, the book that I wrote on vibrational healing, much of that was channeled information. And the explanations in that were channeled from different ascended masters. I don't ask their names because the names are really not important.
Yeah, that's what I've gotten too when I've done channeling. They say, "What is the name?" You know, it's just what you humans worry about.
Yeah, it's the message that's important,
right?
Not who the messenger is.
Yeah, but you know people, you know humans. Go ahead. This is fascinating. Go ahead.
So yeah, I sit there and I just write.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I will get, you know, 3 pages,
mm-hmm.
and other times I only get a half page. And much of it is when I channel it, they'll just give me direct direct quotes. I write the quotes down, and I don't try and figure anything out. I just let the channeling happen.
I write
everything down, and then after, I will close the book, finish my cup of coffee, and then I'll go sit at the computer and write down things, and then I begin to think about what the meaning is of the message. And sometimes it takes me, you know, 3 or 4 days to figure out exactly what the message meant and where I can apply that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the process that I use.
Okay. That's interesting. That's a little different. But I think it's wonderful that you have that ability. And,
well, we had to sort of set the ground rules. Because the council used to speak to me all the time, particularly when I was driving in the car. And so I had a pen and paper, and I always kept it on my lap.
Right.
And finally, as I'm driving this heavy traffic, I said, you know, guys, it really would be better if we just set aside a time in the mm-hmm. evening when I'm not driving the car.
This is probably a good thing.
came to that agreement.
You know, I think that's probably a good thing. I know traffic in D.C. It doesn't work that way.
I used a voice recorder for a little while.
Okay.
But anyway, I figured it was probably best just to, you know, do it when I was not in the car.
Well, that would be my best thought, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go to a church? Do you have a group, a church? I noticed that you do marriages and so forth and so on, baptisms, empowerment. You do mm-hmm. vibrational workshops as well. Where do you give your workshops, and when do you give them?
Well, I've given a number of workshops at Abrams Creek, which is a beautiful piece of land that a friend of mine has. It's 14 and a half acres, pristine land.
Uh-huh.
There's a beautiful stream, and we also have a sweat lodge there.
Where is it located?
It's in Abrams Creek, West Virginia. It's very close to Mount Storm.
Mount Storm, don't know it.
Mount Storm provides the electricity for the D.C. metropolitan area.
Really?
Uh-huh. They have a lake that is heated year-round.
Huh. What part of West Virginia is that in?
It's up near Elkins. It's just past Winchester.
Okay. Because I know there's Abrams Creek up there, and I was going to say, I know there was an Abrams house there, Abrams something there that
mm-hmm.
I've seen when I've driven by there. That's why I was wondering.
Yeah, but anyway, it's a beautiful campground.
Okay.
And there are many campsites and cabins, community bonfires. We also like to do drumming, drumming. Everybody brings a drum. And we just drum together.
Okay. And what does
which is another form of meditation.
I was just going to ask, what is drumming for? Because I've heard of drumming. I've known some people who do drumming. But I usually associate that, of course, with Native Americans. Native
mm-hmm.
American rituals, shall we say, or tradition.
Well, drumming is used in different ways. You can use the drum to meditate and do shamanic journeying. With the drum, you sort of become a part of the drum. You just sort of energetically work with the drum.
Okay.
Drums have been used for centuries by shamans.
And Native American. And people from all over the world, I guess.
Indeed, every culture.
Has drumming, yes. Okay.
So, and of course, you know, there are different types of drums. Some are have a deeper tone, some have a higher tone. Uh-huh. And when we do drum circles, we invite people to bring whatever instrument they like.
Okay.
Because it's more than just drums. It's community is what it is.
Okay.
And so sometimes people have cymbals. And I always have, I always try and bring a whole bunch of different instruments. There's flutes and drums and cymbals and gongs and sticks and, oh yeah, and tambourines. And people just love it.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you know, kids, adults, teenagers, everyone is included.
Right.
So okay. it's a very inclusive thing. So that's great.
Oh, that's fabulous. Okay. As I said, I'm learning some things because I've decided, you know, I have a lot of interest in some things, but there's a limit to what I know, and I kind of like talking to my guests like you, just to learn new things. You know, it's such mm-hmm. a wonderful gift for me to learn from other people. And to share this knowledge. Is there anything else that you'd like to just talk about at this time that I haven't covered yet for some reason?
Well, I could take you, I would be delighted, so delighted, to take you through a self-nourishment meditation.
Oh, sure, right on the radio? Why
yes.
not? All right, let me just prepare it because I'm looking at the time and I wanted to just delay. How do you want people to contact you? Let's get that business out of the way. So to speak.
Oh, okay. They can send me email, manin at earthlink.net, or they can come to my website, which is www.zanes.silver.org.
Okay. All right, and they can call you or contact you anytime, and you are available to talk to people and
absolutely
for meetings and so forth.
There's also a meditation group, the Friday Evening Empowerment Series workshop from 8:30 to 9:30, and followed by a meditation group from 9:30 to 10:30.
And that's where
And that is in Fredericksburg at okay. Natural Stress Solutions, which is on Route 17. It's on my website, all of the directions
okay.
and everything.
Okay. I think this is wonderful. I want to let people know that they can contact her as the information. You can get information from her from me. You can contact me on my website, The Higher Dimensions, at www.bbsradio.com. I should mention that our readers do have, we do have a forum there. We have a chat place now on our website, so that if you have questions or you want to get some clarifications, you can always contact us through BBS Radio and look up The Higher Dimensions and question the experts, I think is the forum. Or you can contact me at multiplepathwaysinc.com. That's the internet. The website is multiplepathwaysinc.com. Or you can contact me at psychicworlds4@aol.com. My office is at 202-387-2080. I am available to talk to people and to give information or refer you on to guests who've been on my shows. And now we're going to try a journey, you say?
Just a meditation.
A meditation, that'll work, but we got to talk on this. We can't have dead silence.
Okay, well, you want me to go ahead and start?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, everyone should take the time to nourish their soul. And if you're feeling frazzled or stressed or run down energetically, spiritually, or emotionally, mm-hmm. try this meditation. You can do it every day. It doesn't take a whole lot of time.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Self-Nourishment Meditation, and it is on my website, by the way.
Okay, good. Okay.
Smile and breathe deeply. Nice, deep breaths, uh-huh. filling your lungs with wonderful air. see a little you in your hands. Just put your palms in front of you and see a little you cradled in your hands.
Okay.
See a light ray of soft golden light. And let the light ray just shine into your hands. Breathing deeply, let the light ray begin to spin around your hands. And spin it. Make the spin larger. And larger still. So that this light ray begins to surround you. It surrounds your hands, it moves up your arms, your shoulders, your entire body. It surrounds you completely. Soak in the colors from the light ray. Soak in the colors pink and green and white, and allow yourself to be nourished. Nourished from the earth. Feel the well of strength of our little planet. Think of the millions of bits of energy that we put into Mother Earth. She cleanses and recycles the energy for we humans to live. Breathe deeply. Seek peace, faith, and love within yourself. See the beauty of your soul and let it glow. Awaken to the understanding of your place in the universe. Every breath you take vibrates throughout the universe. Breathe deeply. Extend peace, faith, and love to all living beings. When you are ready, disengage and ground yourself. See your feet growing roots into the earth. And feel your deep connection to the earth through your feet and through your body. And I hope that self-nourishment meditation is helpful to people.
Well, I think that's beautiful. Thank you. I was going to say, if anybody has any questions at this time, to feel free to call in and ask them. I'm sure that Mignon would be delighted to answer any questions that that might be out there. And sometimes we get callers and sometimes we don't. It just depends. If anyone has any questions, you can be reached. You've given the information of contact. And you had your books that you talked about. You want to give their names again and where they can be purchased?
Yes. Actually, you can purchase them on my website.
Okay.
The one book is called Wire Wrapping Techniques, and I wrote that with my friend Carl Coleman, and he wraps crystals very beautifully. Our styles are very different. My style is open, free-flowing. His is much more intricate. And he has designed some absolutely phenomenal pieces. And there are pictures in the book of some of his pieces. My other book is called Quantum Vibrational Healing, Portals, and Intergalactic Shamanic Journeying. And that also is available on my website.
Good. I wanted to also ask about the intergalactic journeys. What are these all about? I've heard about them before, not necessarily yours, but I came across one person that I had I listened to, and I had some real doubts about the legitimacy, shall we say, of what was being done. It was
It is meditation. I also have several copper devices. One is a great big huge copper pyramid that's 8 feet at the base. And another called a pyrosphere that was built by a friend of mine, Tad. And I use them to create a protected space. And that's one thing that I would like to make sure that everyone understands. If you're going out into the galaxy, you want to be sure that you are protected. Because there are other living beings, there are other entities, and you need to just be protected. You wouldn't go outside in the rain without a rain jacket or a hat. Uh-huh. Same thing applies here.
Uh-huh.
Basically what we do is we set our intention to go to wherever we would like, whether it's Sirius or Draco or the Pleiades, whatever star system we would like to go to, and we connect with the energies from that star system. Often people will see the colors, they will feel the vibrations, and the way I found out about Draco is actually kind of an interesting story. I had gone to Bolivia in January, and I was doing a ceremony on the shores of Lake Titicaca. And the night before I was going to do the ceremony, this was on Copacabana, which is an island.
Right.
So the night before I was going to do the ceremony, I had written everything down, all my prayers, et cetera, et cetera. And so I went out onto the balcony with this crystal in my hand. It was a crystal ball. And the moon was shining. The lake was, the waves were lapping against the sand. There were people walking, kind of, you could hear their murmurs. And the moon was full, and I was looking at this crystal ball in my hand, and the moonlight hit it. And inside the crystal, I saw a dragon. A dragon. And I said, oh, Draco. And I looked up, and there was Draco above me, and the moon, and this crystal, and I got like this zap.
Wow.
And I saw the colors, and I just felt the energies, and I stood there, and I was transfixed.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not sure if it lasted 5 minutes, or if it lasted 10 minutes, or 15, but anyway, I was completely transfixed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got this transmission, and I said, oh my, and I went back inside, and I rewrote the entire ceremony. So that's how I discovered the Draco energies.
Ah, interesting. So, that's a fascinating story. So you went to Bolivia.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was beautiful.
I understand it's a glorious country. I understand. Well, most of the world is glorious. What can I tell you?
Indeed, I agree.
I can't wait to see it myself.
And the mountains, the Andes are just phenomenal.
Yes, I
understand. I had the opportunity to just drive through much of Bolivia, and I saw the jungles and the mountains, and it was absolutely incredible. I had such a wonderful time. Such a wonderful time that I'm going to go to Peru in October.
Oh, you are?
Yes, I am.
How wonderful. Are you going to Machu Picchu or?
Absolutely.
Oh,
in
fabulous.
The Sacred Valley, and then we'll probably go up to Lake Titicaca as well.
Are you going on a tour or
yes,
with a group
of small,
people?
It's a small group.
Ah.
We're all heading together. So we have a lot of work to do.
Oh, absolutely. Do you do any preparations for that, like walking, doing walking to build up your resistance, your breathing? Because I understand it's very difficult up in that area from a physical standpoint.
Yes, I've been doing some walking.
Okay.
And I also got a nice pair of earth shoes. So I figure that's going to save my feet.
You got a what?
A pair of earth shoes.
Oh, okay.
To save my feet.
Okay. Well, that works. But I understand people do try to build up their stamina, I guess is the word I'm looking for, before
going
on trips like that. And are you going to take any particular crystals with you? Are there any that can work with breath work, for example, that can help you in the verified
air? I have a crystal. His name is Ocho. And, yes, all of my crystals have names. Ocho is a master programmer and activator crystal.
Uh-huh.
And so basically what I do is I run the energies, and I have Ocho memorize the energies and rebirth programs and sequences. And I have him memorize them. We give them a name. I write it down in my journal.
Uh-huh.
And so Ocho is able to send these energies to other crystals.
Uh-huh.
And to people.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I know it all sounds a little odd, but that's okay.
Well, I know it sounds odd, but, you know, listening to what other people have to say is important. It's respecting other people's path and honoring it. I mean, that's what this country is all about anyway, and that's what we should be about, is honoring other people and their path they choose. And many times, you know, I learned so, and I love it. Anyway, I think that was our signal that we are now saying goodbye. I am so glad that you came by and were with us this evening. I hope to talk to you again. You're a fascinating woman. And
thank you. I'm so delighted to have been honored to be on your show.
Thank you very much. Good night, everyone. We'll talk to you next week. I will let you know who the guest will be later on. Thank you for listening to The Higher Dimensions. I'm Phyllis Pricer. Good night. Good night, Mignon.
Good night. Thank you.